And I'm so thankful that God thought enough of me and my wife. Let us sit across from you tonight and watch what God did in your life. I'll never forget it. And I'm so thankful for you and your family. And when I was here last time, I saw your family here. And Mom and Daddy, thank you for being faithful to revival on Monday night. I bet you something happened today and you wasn't sure if you was going to come or not, or you thought about it. You're like, well, I don't know. I'm tired and things are going on. But I'm going to go ahead and go. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. I got 400 things going through my mind and I ain't got but one active brain cell and it's tired. Brother Michael, I'm going to try to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. If you'll stand, turn to Mark chapter number 6, please. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 42. I have a question for you. We're having revival this week. I need revival. I just got a little dose of it, to be honest. But I want to ask you something. How many of you want God? You want revival in you? I'm talking about personal revival. I'm talking about where God changes you and gave you a reason to get up this morning, because some of you got up and you don't even know why you got up. How many of you want God to touch you and to breathe on you and change your life and bring revival into your life? How many of you really want that with all of your heart? All right. Let me ask you another question. What would you do if He did? What if God comes through here tonight and really breathes on you and revives you and stirs your heart? What are you going to do about it? What would you do different in the morning if God honored the prayers of this church and this preacher and brought real, I'm talking about real heaven-sent, God-ordained Holy Ghost revival to His people? What would you do different tomorrow than you did today? Might be the answer to why He hadn't. I think one of the keys to revival is obedience. One of the biggest hindrances to the revival is disobedience. And so I'm just going to ask you to think about this Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Let this run through your mind. Before we try to get God to do something else, I want you to search your heart tonight, and I want you to ask God, have I done the last thing you told me? Many times God will breathe on us and prepare us for something and do something good in our lives, and we'll appreciate that. We're thankful for it, and then He'll give us a command, and we'll disobey it or put it off or think it's not important and forget about it, and then wonder where God is. Well, He's back there where that disobedient command was left. Can you imagine praying for the power of God on one hand and rejecting the gospel ministry and the gospel call on the other? The Bible said the gospel is the power of God. It doesn't contain the power of God. It don't smell like the power of God. It don't look like. The gospel is the power of God. And if God breathed on you tonight, what would you do different tomorrow? So here's what I want to challenge you to do. If God don't breathe on you tonight, go do tomorrow what you would have done if He did breathe on you tonight. We're waiting on a feeling and say, God touched me with a feeling. I can now go do something for Him. I want you to take your Bibles. I'm not just jabbering here. I'm talking to you. Mark chapter number 6. If the only time I served God was when I felt like it, my goodness gracious, we'd be in a mess. We'd be in a mess. Mark chapter number 6. Thank you, preacher, for having me. And I'm really not a mean preacher, I promise you. I'm really nice. I'm really nice preacher. Mark 6:42. Nobody said amen or nothing. That's bad. That's really bad. We're off on the wrong foot here. Mark chapter number 6, verse 42. You glad you saved? Say amen. You glad Miss Peyton got saved? Say amen. What a joy. Amen. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. Now, Jesus has made his disciples feed 5,000 people. They're done. They're tired. He constrained them to get in a ship. They didn't want to go. It wasn't natural for them to go. But he forced them and he led them into getting into this ship to go to the other side. Many times God will maneuver your life in ways that you don't want him to, and you don't even know it's him doing it. But you'll say, I'm tired and I'm wore out and I don't know why this has come up and I have to deal with this. And there's things that God will put you in that you not necessarily would have chosen for yourself. And so he constrains his disciples to get into the ship. The Bible says, sent them away. Verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, he alone on the land, and he saw them. If you write in your Bible, or underline it, or write a note right here, he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It's amazing, preacher, how we can go do all the right things, sing all the right songs, come to all the right meetings, pray all the right prayers, and it be empty and hollow for one reason, because our hearts are hard. Let's pray. Father, I want you to help me to be a blessing to this church. These are your people, Lord. They love you, and the Holy Ghost is evidently moving, Lord, here, already doing great and eternal works. Thank you, Lord, for Peyton. Thank you, Lord, that she never has to lay down again and wonder if she's going to heaven or hell. Lord, she never has to wonder again if mom and daddy are going to be taken away when the rapture takes place. Lord, she's never got to worry about eternity ever again. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that paid for our sin. Now, Lord, tonight I pray you to anoint me. Now, I need you to help me, Lord. God, I'm preaching something that I know something about. I'm not an expert on it, but I know something about it. And God forbid, Lord, that we should operate with a hard heart. Help us now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I do not want to live my life with a hard heart. And you can look religious and you can smile and you can do all the right things, say all the right things, but do you realize how easy it is to get a hard heart when you're serving God? I'm talking about in the middle of church. People on Monday night revival can come in with a hard heart towards God. A hard heart. The Bible said they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. I'm not going to be long, but I do want to talk to you about this idea of a hard heart. If our heart is hard, then we'll feel like and we'll struggle in everything we do, and we'll not see any benefit out of that struggle. We'll not see any joy out of that struggle. We'll not see any peace out of that struggle. And we'll be like these disciples. They were toiling and rowing, and by the end of it, they had a hard heart, and they did not believe what the Lord had told them. And to be honest with you, they had one job, and their job was to obey God. He said, go to the other side, and that's what they should have done. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Don't quit, just keep rowing. Don't quit, just keep rowing, because there are going to be things that come up in your life and in my life, and you're just going to want to lay down the oar, and you're just going to want to lay it all down, and just give me a breather and just let me rest, and you'll fade off into the distance and forget what God's done in your life if you don't guard yourself against a hard heart and keep on keeping on. I want to look tonight at some reasons that these disciples had a hard heart. They're toiling and rowing. They're doing the best they know how to do. They're going through the motions. They're trying to serve God, and it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. The Lord has went up into the mountain to pray. They're down here in the sea in this boat, and they're trying to get to the other side. This is a beautiful picture of what's going on right now. The Lord Jesus is up on the mountain in glory, and he's looking down on us, and we're in the world, and the water's splashing around, and the wind's blowing. But thank God for the boat that is going through the world. You say, what's that boat? It's the local church. It's the house of God. And while we're in the house of God, heading to the other side, wind's going to blow and storms are going to come sometimes. And we're going to think we ain't never going to make it. We're going to get tired toiling and rowing. And I want you to look. Every Christian here can keep on rowing in times of toiling. When it gets hard, you can keep going for God. If you'll examine these difficulties that these disciples faced, and I guarantee you it's a difficulty just like you face. Watch this now. We want to keep going for God and not quit. Let's examine these difficulties real quick before we go tonight. Number one, they were tired. You say, well, preacher, what's that got doing anything? I don't know about you, but when I'm tired or I'm sick, I try to read my Bible. I can't read my Bible. When I'm tired or sick, I try to pray. Don't look at me funny. I can't pray. I'll lay down and I'll go to say something and I'll mumble a little bit and I'll go to sleep and I'll get frustrated and I'll be, I'll just pray tomorrow. Sometimes you get tired and sometimes you get weary and you get so to the point that you don't even know how to communicate with God and you just sit there and blow spit bubbles and don't really know what to say. These disciples were tired. They were worn out from their misery. They just had buried John the Baptist. John was doing what they were doing, and he just got killed for it. He just got his head cut off for it, and they went and they had to bury the man. And they were tired because they had to go to the funeral. They had to bury John the Baptist. They were tired from the ministry. Jesus said, here's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and here's 5,000 men, plus women and children. And so he has them go and distribute all of this food to these people. There ain't but 12 of them. And they go distribute food to thousands of people. And when they're done, preacher, you know what he says? All right, clean up. Clean up. So they just went to the funeral, and they're already tired. He said, come apart. And they're trying to get away, and they're trying to come apart and rest, but now they got to go to a funeral. And now instead of getting to rest, now they got to feed everybody. Instead of getting to rest, now they got to clean up. Watch this, they're tired of the misery, they're tired of the ministry, and they're tired of the mandate. Now, after it's all said and done, they've cleaned up, it's the middle of the night, they're tired. Now Jesus puts them in a boat and says, go to the other side. These boys are just absolutely worn out, and they don't want to do it no more. I'm just simply tired. Do you know how you're going to feel Wednesday afternoon when you get off work? You've been here Monday, you worked all day. You've been here Tuesday, you worked all day. Wednesday night about 6 o'clock, you're going to say, I'm done. I'm tired. There'll be times God asks you to do something and you know it's Him and He's dealing with you about doing it and you're so wore out, you don't even want to keep on going on. They were tired. Sometimes you'll get tired right in the middle of the will of God. Do you ever get tired and feel like God's forgotten about you out here in this little old boat trying to make it? God ain't forgot about you. He's up there on that mountain. Now let's examine these things quickly, and I promise you, you'll get some help at the end here in just a minute. Not only were they tired, why did they have a hard heart? Because they were tired. Number two, they were trapped. Verse 46, look at it with me. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, and the ship was where? In the midst of the sea. And he alone on the land, he saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. They were in the midst of the sea. These boys not only were tired, they were trapped. And so they had gotten as far out as they could go, and they were still trying to row, but they wasn't getting anywhere. They wasn't moving. The wind was blowing so hard by the time they got to the middle of the sea, they could not go forward any further. They were trapped. They could not go back. They had done come too far. Oh, I need somebody to say amen. They had done come too far from where they left to to turn around and go back. They come too far to go back. I done rode all night. I done worked all night. I ain't about to let the wind drive me back. But I can't go forward. I don't know what to do. I'm trapped, God. Have you forgotten where I'm at? I'm trapped. They were too far out to go back. The wind was too contrary for them to go on. I can't go back and I can't go on. I'm stuck. God, I would get another job, but you stuck me in this one that I hate. God, I'm trying to serve you, but I don't have time to do what you want me to do. Sometimes you'll feel like there's 10,000 things, God, I'd do for you if you'd change my situation, if you'd change what's going on in my life, if you'd fix this, then I would do this. And we feel trapped in life. Couldn't go no further. But they done come too far to go back. Not only that, where they were at, it's too deep to jump off. I can't go this way. I can't go that way. And I can't jump out. And I'm tired of rowing. But if I don't do something, I guess I'm just going to die here. Now, I ain't no psychiatrist, and I ain't going to lay down on a leather couch and talk to you about your childhood, but I want to ask you something. Have you ever felt like sometimes I'd be better off if I just laid down and died? I'd be better off if I just laid down and just died. You feel like all the walls are closing in. You can't see a door out. You can't see a way back. You can't even jump out of the boat. I'm talking about these boys couldn't go nowhere, preacher. They were trapped. Here's the problem. If you would have done an interview with these boys and went to that boat that night, and you'd have said, Simon Peter, you can't go back, you can't go forward, you can't jump out, you're stuck, you can't move. If you would have went and asked him, where did you miss the will of God at? Where's God? I bet he would have named three or four different things he should have done different. And if you would have interviewed all 12 of those boys and asked them, why are you in this situation? Why are you in a spot that you can't get out of? You can't go forward. You can't go back. Why are you here? What did you do? I guarantee you every one of them would have three or four answers of why things are so bad. But do you know what the truth is? The truth is that although they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go back, they couldn't jump down, they were right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. See, you think you're not the will of God because it's not comfortable, because it hurts, because I don't see no fruit, because I'm not moving forward. I can't even mess up bad enough to go backwards. And you'll think you've missed God. God's gone. I missed the will of God. It's all over. And the truth of the matter is, God cares so much about you. You're right in the middle of the will of God. And you don't even know it, but He does. See, you're sitting here tonight with a hard heart because you think you missed God. You can't miss God. How big is He? Ain't nobody here on Monday night trying to miss God anyway. You can't miss, you ain't missed Him. You are where you are because you are where God put you. I'm going to say it again. You are where you are because you are where God put you. I don't care what it looks like. They felt trapped. They were tired. They felt trapped. And you know what happened? They got a hard heart right in the middle of the will of God. You can be in the middle of the will of God and get a hard heart if you're not careful. They were tired. They were trapped. Number three, they were troubled. Verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he taught with them and said to them, be of good cheer, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazing themselves beyond measure and wondered. Look at this again, verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. There was an old mariner's fable. These fishermen thought that when they saw a spirit on the waters, they were going to die. They thought it was the grim reaper coming to get them. And so they see Jesus walking to them and they don't recognize him. Why? Because they're tired. Because they're trapped. And Jesus is coming where they are and they don't even know it's him. That's what a hard heart will do for you. That's why I ask you, if God did give you revival, what would you do? He may come by and give it to you and you don't even recognize him. You don't even recognize what he's doing. And so they were troubled on that sea because they thought they were about to die. Verse 49, they had believed a lie. They went to the extreme. They went to the worst case scenario. And they said, here's a spirit. We're done. We're doomed. We're not going to make it out of here. We're all going to die. And when you've got a hard heart and you're in trouble, your mind will always take you to the worst case scenario. You'll make your worst mistake making a decision in the dark just to try to get out of the dark. You'll make a permanent solution to a temporary problem that you can't go back and change if you're not careful in the middle of that boat. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Nothing. Nothing. They were troubled. Sometimes it's better just to be still. We love the mountains, and me and Christy had been married not too long. Audrey was maybe 1.5, 2 years old. We go to the mountains. We got a VCR for, not a VCR, a camcorder for Christmas. I said VCR because I'm so old that the camcorders when we got married were about as big as a VCR. And so we got a camcorder for Christmas, and we'd gone to the mountains, and we'd spent a weekend up there, and we were coming back on 28, that winding road down through 28. And we had a little Chevrolet Malibu. And I seen a waterfall coming down the side of the mountain. It was beautiful. Big old waterfall coming back on the backside of Gatlinburg. And I said, hey, well, let's go get a video and a picture of that waterfall. Me and you standing there, that'd be great. And so there's a pull-off, a little gravel pull-off on the side of the road. So I pulled that little Chevrolet Malibu over and I backed it up. And I was backing it into that little gravel pull-off. What I didn't know is there's places where water runs down the side of that mountain and it'll do washouts and gullies in the side of that little road right there. And so I was backing that little Chevrolet Malibu up and the back end of that thing fell down in one of those gullies. We were on the side of a cliff. It's probably 1,000 feet down to that river. And that Chevrolet Malibu fell down. The back end fell down in that gully and the front end, the tires come up off the ground and we're sitting here looking straight at Jesus, straight up in the air. And I watched Chips when I was a kid, and every third episode was a car about to fall off the mountain, and they had to come rescue him, and that's all I was thinking, we're going to die. And so I was trying to remember what Punch and John used to tell everybody when they were on the side of the mountain rocking back and forth about to die. And I looked at Christy, I said, don't move, be still, don't move. And that car sitting here, I ain't lying, that thing's rocking back and forth, and we're about to fall off this cliff and die. I'm scared to death, she's scared to death. I looked there, I said, don't move. Be real still. If you make the wrong move, this car's going to flip out. We're going to die. Be still. I didn't get the ill out of stuh. And this woman has climbed over me. She's down here. I'm like here. The car's up sideways like this, hanging off the side of the cliff. She jumps out, steps on my face, kicks the door open, jumps out, says, die if you want to, I'm getting out. She don't care. She don't care. I'm still bitter about it in my heart. Y'all pray for me. I need to go to confession. We'll deal with it later. It worked out. But most of the time, your best move when you're tired, when you're trapped and you're in trouble is no move. Be still. A hard heart will cause you to make rash decisions to try to make the pain to stop. He didn't say you wouldn't have pain. Y'all just sang it. I read this morning, God rebuked me this morning, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Amen. Well, there's a verse after that. It talks about being a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. The things I'm scared of happening, and I try to make not happen and work my whole life to try to make the things I'm scared of happening not happen, might be the will of God if they happen so that I can be a partaker of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I shouldn't fear of what happens to me because God may want me to suffer like His Son suffered so that I can have fellowship with Him in the power of God. I didn't want to read that today. I wanted to complain. They were trapped. They were troubled. They thought, worst case scenario. Let me ask you a question. Are you still living on a bad decision you made a long time ago just to get out of pain for 5 minutes? Let me tell you what I'd do. I'd find me a spot in this altar and tell God, Lord, there's no way I can go back and fix this, but I'll admit that I did it. You know what God will do? God will spin the world around and let you start over again, but you'll have to admit it. They were troubled. Number four, I'm done. This sermon's a whole lot longer than this. I'm just rushing through it because I want to get... They were taught. Verse 50. For they all saw him, were troubled, and immediately he taught with them, said, be of good cheer, desire, be not afraid. He went up unto them in the ship. The wind ceased, and they were sore amazed themselves beyond measure. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They were taught. The whole time they were taught to remember. The whole time that wind is blowing that boat. Do you know what's in the bottom of that boat? Does anybody remember what's in the bottom of the boat? What did they take up when they cleaned up? Fish. How many fish? 12 baskets. How many apostles were in that boat? 12. There's a basket hitting every one of them in the feet saying, Jesus is faithful and can do anything. They were taught to remember. You know what we do when we get in trouble and we get tired and we get trapped? We don't remember nothing God's done. All we can see is what He ain't doing. We must reflect and remember and be thankful for what He has done because it'll pay dividends when we're in the dark in trouble. They were taught to remember. You know what else they were taught? They were taught to rejoice. He's walking on what you're scared of. But watch this. This is the whole sermon right here. They were taught to row. They were taught to row. Jesus, constrained, puts them on the boat. He goes into the mountain. He says, I want you to get in this boat and go to the other side. That was their instruction. Do you know what that was? That was the word of God. Get in this boat and go over there. It's not difficult. It's what He said to do. They're in here and they're rowing and they're toiling. What's changed? Nothing. The command was get in the boat and go to the other side. Yes, they're tired. Yes, they're toiling. Yes, they're trapped. Yes, they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. But the command of God, the word of God, their instruction has not changed. That's what I want you to see tonight. Just because the things around you have changed does not mean God has changed His mind about you. Get in the boat, go to the other side, nothing's changed. The storm's blowing. That Bible says that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. He gets out of the boat, He starts walking on the water, and what did it say? And He would have, I want to read it right because y'all ain't going to believe this. What verse is that? You ain't going to believe it. But when He, let's see. Verse number 48, He saw him toiling and rowing the wind was contrary, and about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. They're trapped, they're in trouble, they're scared. He sees them, and He has no intention of helping them. They think they're going to die. Are they going to die? You can't die. No, they're not going to die. God told you to get in the boat and go to the other side. Nothing's changed. Everything around you changed, but His instruction to you has not changed. Watch this. They're told around. Jesus comes walking. Let's just say y'all are the disciples in the boat. Here's how this went down. Exactly how it went down. The wind's blowing. Lightning's crashing. They're scared to death. Water splashing everywhere. They think they're going to die. Jesus comes walking by. And they're screaming out for fear. And he stops, Brother Michael. He's like, and they're screaming, thinking they're going to die. And Jesus stops again. Be still. And immediately the ship was on the other side. It was never the Lord's intention to calm their storm. It's going to ruin every Southern gospel song we got. He come by and he calmed my storm. He did, but listen to me closely. He's mad about it. Here's the problem. He will come by and calm your storm if you won't be quiet about it, and you'll start making rash decisions. You start getting a hard heart. God will come by and calm your storm and let it settle down. It was never his intention to calm their storm. Here's the problem. They missed a wonderful opportunity to live by faith. God wants to bring revival to you and to this church and to me and to our church, and he's not going to do it on feeling. He's going to do it on faith. You're going to have to believe God. If the wind blows, you're going to have to believe the last thing God told you. If it looks like you're going to die, you have to believe the last thing God told you. If everybody around you thinks we've missed it, you're going to have to believe the last thing God told you. He never intended to calm their storm. He intended on them to believe what he said and to live by faith. Revival's not a feeling. Revival's not a storm calming. Revival is us believing God. There's only one thing that disappoints God when we don't believe him. There's only one thing that pleases God when we believe him. My question before I go to the house, what is the last thing God said to you? Are you doing it? Father, in Jesus' name, I many times get a hard heart because I think that you've forgotten. I'm doing the best I know how, and I make mistakes and I mess up, and sometimes I just need your touch. Sometimes I just need you to walk by and get on my boat. But Lord, you will calm my storm and you will help me, but most of the time that's not even your will. It's your will for me to believe your word over what I see. It's your will for me to believe your word over what I feel. And it's your will for me to obey the scriptures no matter what's going on around me. Teach us not to get a hard heart because of what's not true. The Bible's still true. The Word of God's still true. And Lord, when things change around us, we're quick to get a hard heart. God, please, in Jesus' name, please don't let us get our hearts hardened. Don't let us get mad that our storm is blowing. Don't let us get mad that we're trapped. Please remind us we are where we are because God put us there, and teach us to believe you. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen. Would you stand with me while she plays? I want you to find a place in this altar and say, God, would you remind me what you've told me? Would you remind me the last thing that you said to me? Cause me to remember the instruction that I've received, God. And let me not forget what you've told me to do. In Jesus' name, find your spot in these altars. Come on tonight. Let's start revival off right. Let's get God to remind us what his instructions are.